I'll now call the special meeting of the City Council, October 24th, to order. And Madam Clerk, would you take the roll?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Councilmember Pete LaFrance.
Here.
Councilmember Brad Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember David Fuller.
Here.
Councilmember Sabrina Combs.
Here.
Councilmember Steve Carrington.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Richard Best.
Here.
Mayor Edna DeVries.
Here.
All members present. We have a quorum.
Okay. Would you stand? And Councilman Hansen, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The next item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. What is the wishes of the council?
Move to approve.
Okay. Okay, it's been moved by Councilman Fuller and seconded by Deputy Mayor Best that the agenda as presented is approved. We will be doing roll call votes tonight because we have one member who is teleconferencing in. So, okay. Madam Clerk, would you go ahead and take the votes, please?
Yes. Councilmember Pete LaFrance.
Yes.
Councilmember Brad Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember David Fuller.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabrina Combs.
Yes.
Councilmember Steve Carrington.
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Richard Best.
Yes.
Mayor Edna DeVries.
Yes.
Passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. The next item is audience participation. The floor is open to anybody that would like to come and address the council on any matter, either something that's on the agenda or is not on the agenda. And you have 3 minutes if you're a private citizen and 5 minutes if you represent a group. So if anybody wants to testify, come forth and sign in, please. Seeing no one come forth, I will close the audience participation. The next item on our agenda is the Committee of the Whole, the presentation of the 2018 budget. And we will be discussing the 2018 City of Palmer budget, the City of Palmer pay plan, the City of Palmer fee schedule, the City of Palmer fine schedule, the City of Palmer capital improvement program. What is the wishes of the council?
Move to enter Committee of the Whole.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Councilman Fuller and seconded by Deputy Mayor Best that we move into a Committee on the Whole. Discussion, amendments, questions? Okay. Madam Clerk, if you will call roll again for the vote.
Councilmember Pete LaFrance.
Yes.
Councilmember Brad Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember David Fuller.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabrina Combs.
Yes.
Councilmember Steve Carrington.
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Richard Best.
Yes.
Mayor Edna DeVries.
Yes.
Passes unanimously.
Thank you. We are now in the Committee of the Whole, and sir, you're up. Mm-hmm. You think it's going to be worse news tonight, so you want, you're further out of reach to us? Is that what you are?
No, this is our first real one, so it should be closer. So as we go along, I can move back.
Yeah, right. As the dollar signs get bigger and bigger, then you can move further back. We'll reserve the back row for you the last time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council members. Tonight, the draft schedule had us talking about community development and the library. However, there's a significant item on the regular agenda tonight for the dispatch, so I'm prepared to talk about the police department if that's the desires of the council tonight.
Is there any objection from the council?
Talk about the police department?
Talk about the police department rather than the community development. Would you, does anybody prefer that we stick to the original schedule? Or I guess not, sir, so go ahead then. We will proceed with the police department.
I said I was prepared. I didn't have it tabbed. There we go. So the police department starts on page 43. And that first page shows our organization. No significant changes from how we've been operating in the last few months, but it is a change from how we've operated in the past, especially, well, primarily in the dispatchers. We're down to 6 dispatchers with 1 supervisor, whereas last year we were planning on 12 and 1. That's because of the downsizing that was done through the dispatch contract being transferred to MATCOM. So since July 1st of this year, the contract ended, and we did a slow bleed really from January up through January to downsize to where we are today. And where we are today is basically 1 person per shift, and with a double, we have 2 people on the prime hours, which generally run from 12 to midnight. And then we have on-call for any additional calls that need to be handled if a situation comes up where we're overburdened. So from the organizational standpoint, that's really the only change. Next page is page 45, which shows the highlights of this year. Not the highlights, it shows the changes from last year to this year. And page 45 is the police administration portion. So you can see the biggest increase, of course, is in personnel. Part of that is due to the new DEA, a new officer, so that we could send an experienced officer to the DEA task force. The salary and benefits for a new officer is $90,000. Received a grant from the borough for $75,000, so a net increase of $15,000. There are other associated costs with that when we have to cover for the new officer in training. We're still pursuing other grant opportunities to make up that shortfall, but that's basically the salary and benefits equate to about $90,000 for a new officer, and then the borough is covered $75,000, so a net increase of $15,000 when you look at it that way. There's also, so there is a typo, the reduced due to lower personnel costs. I think that was, I don't know why I didn't catch that. I think that was from last year. So it's not reduced to lower, it grew. And part of that is also due to merit increases for the folks that have been here for quite some time.
Your Honor, can I ask a question?
Yes. Councilman Hanson.
I thought you said last week that Thursday that Health Foundation was going to make a decision on funding.
We're expecting one in November.
Or November.
Yes.
So, okay. I thought it was Thursday.
No.
Okay, go ahead and proceed.
The next significant increase for services, it's an increase for our records management system. About $11,000 is the rather smaller management system for the police department that we've been using for years. Fuel, now that we're full staffing, fuel costs will go up a little bit. We anticipate an increase in price of fuel as well. Our insurance costs have gone up across the board, and this is the police department's share. Some of the bigger drops, because we no longer have a polygraph, no school this year, we weren't able to send somebody. We won't be purchasing the equipment, so that cuts about $10,000 between the travel and the equipment. So the reduction there. And then overall increase in the department of about $214,000. On the next page, on page 46, it just shows the items that are over $15,000 besides discounting personnel. Across the board, personnel is always over $15,000. But this just shows a further breakdown of those items that are over $15,000. So for training, firearms training, of course, some other additional training for our new officers to include tactical training, data master that's ongoing. Again, for our services, you can see the services that covers. We do have to pay Aspen fees, which is the Alaska Public Safety Network. And then we also do medical screenings, which there's a typo, bonds, and then certifications for our equipment. Fuel, already discussed that. Insurance, we discussed that. And then the operating supplies shows a further breakdown of the type of supplies we buy in the police department for $17,000. And then small tools and equipment, because we do have to replace that on occasion. Plus, we take care of our reserve officers. That's what that $20,000 for. Then for office equipment, one of the things I would like to highlight is Office 365. We're currently using that system, but our police department will need to go through an upgrade to bring it to a more secure type system so that we can continue to meet our certification requirements for our department and how it gets certified through the federal programs. Not a significant amount, but it does require that this year, so we program for that as well. Page 47 shows the differences over time. I've covered the 17 to 18 differences. If there's no questions, I'll move on to the page 48. Animal control, the price increase from the borough went up July 1st. We agreed to that contract earlier in the year, so it'll take, we'll really see the effects this year. It goes from 11 to 15,000. Alaska State Troopers, we currently generate $43,000 in revenue through that lease, and we project to spend about $19,000 to maintain that side of the building for things that they need. Looking at the jail, the revenue for that is about $16,000. Again, about $5,500 is what we put into it for maintenance costs. We don't anticipate any significant increases this year, although if something does happen, we can absorb that if we need to. And then finally, the police building, just a small decrement in repair and maintenance. We've looked over the years. We had a higher... We've never spent what we projected, so we've knocked that down by about $2,500. So that one actually went down compared to last year. Any questions on those three? And then again, page 49 shows the differences over time. The big one now is, again, a part of the police department. I hate to call it something separate because it does, it is integral to our department. Yes.
Councilman Hanson.
Yeah, I have a question on the state trooper building and the lease. How much longer on the lease? Is it year to year right now?
We signed it last year. I'd have to go check and see if that was for 3 years, or I don't believe it's a year to year, but I can confirm that for the next meeting.
Okay, I think we do, because I think Wasilla's building their new police station, looking to relocate them. So it'd be nice to know what their what our lease is.
Yes.
Looks like.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Well, just a minute. Councilwoman Combs, if you have a question or something, just go ahead and speak out. I will try to remember to be sure and ask you for any input before we move on. But please don't be intimidated because you're online.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So for dispatch. Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So for dispatch, last year, at this time last year, we didn't anticipate having a contract starting January 1st because the borough had waited so long. So our proposed contract, our proposed budget for 2017 was about $930,000, which included no revenue. But that also included a drawdown period from January to March where we would go from 12 to 9 and then from March to June from 9 to 7 or 9 to 6. And then we got the contract before the budget session was over and we bumped it back to the full price of $1.2 million for the full dispatch center. That lasted 6 months. We got half of the revenue because the contract was only for 6 months. So you should have on the last one of the pages, it was sent to the council members earlier in the week because the question was asked what the dispatch revenue versus cost was. So it's a single page. It starts with dispatch on top. So as you can see over time, what the dispatch, if you don't have it, we've got more over here. If anybody needs a copy.
Yeah, everyone needs a copy.
Is there any way we can get that? Thank you, sir. Is there any way, Councilwoman Combs, do you have the piece of paper that the city manager is passing out now that he said that had come earlier in an email?
Yeah, I have it. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So again, I didn't go all the way back. I just went back to the last year that we had a full contract and full staffing. So that was 2015. As you can see, the general fund contribution then was just over $600,000. 2016, we got an increase in the contract. The size of the staffing remained stable. Contract fulfillment was for 12 people. We had 12 off and on throughout that year. And then, but the bump in the contract was the first year we got a significant bump. Our general fund contribution went down. And then later in that year, and then in 2017, we did start actual downsizing. So in 2017, with the adopted budget and then the half of the contract, see, we contributed $760,000. And then this year with zero increase due to merit increases, our costs have gone up a little bit, but there's no revenue to come in to offset it. So it's a full general fund contribution for the dispatch center. So that's where we stand today with today's budget. This is for a fully operational downsized to meet the needs of our Palmer Fire Department when they respond to fires within the city and to also respond for our police department. The Matsu Borough, or MATCOM, dispatches the greater Palmer Fire Service Area. And that was what stirred up the controversy on the contract for the borough when we were working with the Palmer Consolidated Fire. We wanted to dispatch our own. We asked them to contribute, and the answer was no, borough assets will be dispatched from MATCOM. So we don't dispatch Greater Palmer Fire outside the city. That's done with our dispatch center for basically inside the red line. We dispatch inside the red line. The borough dispatches out the red line. So we aren't completely dispatching firefighters. Even though there are firefighters, if they're responding outside the area to a borough land, they're being dispatched by MATCOM. So there's no contribution from the borough for our dispatch center. And so that's how the revenue picture looks. So then as we move along, now the prior year difference, that is based just on expenditures. That doesn't have anything to do with the revenue brought in. So from an expenditure standpoint, it is down because we have less people, which results in decreases across the board. So we have less training we have to do, less travel we have to do, less maintenance, fewer workstations, which we received all of the equipment, basically all the equipment that was in that dispatch center. When the borough pulled out funding, they left the equipment for us, so that has helped. No significant increase for the actual equipment. And then, of course, office supplies, uniforms, things like that all go down because we're going from 12 to 9 to now 6 and 1. So overall, decrease of $272,000 in expenditures because we've downsized. But again, as it was brought earlier, our revenue that supported it, the operation from the borough standpoint, is gone. Any questions on dispatch?
Yeah. I do. That borough equipment you mentioned, what's the projected lifespan of that, and when are we going to see an uptick for having to replace that or update systems?
Well, part of that question we'll discuss tonight with the CAD system. The radios were split purchase years ago. It hadn't been updated. The CAD system hadn't been updated. The CAD system we're recommending is web-based. So we'll still have to have the equipment we have can operate, but we won't have to have the server backbone that we have now. So that won't be an investment we'll have to make in the future. Just we'll have to have the remote workstations that can tie into the web-based service. So I wouldn't suspect we'd see anything in 2 to 3 years, if that soon, for some of this equipment. Again, based on what happens tonight with the CAD and the radio purchase, there's always going to be maintenance that's required. But that equipment, again, the server system that it resides on now will go away, so we won't have that whole backbone to fund.
Further questions from the council?
I have a question.
Yes, Councilman Hansen.
So we're talking about a budget for the entire dispatch center, and, you know, I think a CAD system and a radio system is probably realistically what we should be considering in total. I don't think we should be doing these things separate. I wish we were making the decision on the radios at another time, but I guess it's your intent to pursue that. But I have a question about later. They talked about it's almost as much. I can't remember if it said it's almost as much to upgrade our current system as it is to buy a new system. Is that what was said in the AM or the description of the in the AM?
Yes. So if we were to upgrade our current system, it would require our hardware refresh to some degree of the servers, the software itself, and depending on which estimate we look at, that would cost us for the CAD system anywhere from $200,000 to $400,000. The current system is about $160,000, and then the maintenance costs, which I believe are outlined in detail. The maintenance cost of our current system, just maintenance alone, is $15,000, and the future maintenance, I believe, was $6,000, or just shy of $6,000. So the maintenance costs are less, and then the refresh the equipment would be somewhat equal, depending on how we refresh that system. Anywhere from $200,000 to $400,000 to upgrade our current system to
upgrade your current computer-aided dispatch.
Yes, the current system we have, which is a Tiburon system. So it would be when we're done, another Tiburon system, which is not web-based, be server-based. So it does require more hardware because it is equipment that's in our facility.
So if I'm reading this right, you're saying that it's $47,000 to $247,000 more to upgrade our current system?
That's not including radios, just the CAD system.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you're saying $200,000 to $400,000 to upgrade your CAD system?
If we're going to completely upgrade the current system that's in our building, as is, with the same manufacturer, same software, it would cost us anywhere from $200,000 to $400,000. Probably close to the $200,000 because the $400,000 was for the 6 workstations, and we don't need that many workstations.
Are we talking about the same thing?
I don't know at this point. The CADs.
Well, you have two categories here. You have radios for 522, 164,
yes. Yep.
And you have a computer aided dispatch
for 153,
okay, 500. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me that to upgrade our current dispatch, computer aided dispatch, it's $200,000 to $400,000.
Those, when the borough was examining upgrading that system, when they still had that system, that was the estimate that they had. $200,000 to $400,000. Actually, it was $400,000, but that was for the entire system as it stood, which we don't need. It would cut that in half.
I can see why they're broke. Okay. Well, I don't quite understand that, but. I'll take your word for it.
So a web-based system doesn't require all the hardware that comes that we currently have. If you go out, if you go to our dispatch center, there's a closet out back, and then there's another workstation or big box that has the actual server for the CAD system. It's all standalone. If the internet were to go out, we would have connectivity still with our CAD system, not necessarily to other systems that feed into it. But then we require to maintain that whole system as it is standalone. When a server goes out, we have to replace the server, software upgrades. So the licensing alone is expensive, and it's by workstation, not by site. The new system is one license for the site, no matter how many workstations you have. So it's almost like apples and oranges to compare the two systems. The function's the same, but the infrastructure on how it supports our dispatchers is different. And that's where the cost break is, because the licensing is a lot less expensive because it's not as robust, because we don't need as robust a system that the borough's had in place for years. It's web-based, so we are at the mercy of the internet to some degree. But the hardware and the software licensing really makes up the difference. If you've got anything different or more to add on that. Okay. I can have Chief address it in more detail if you like.
Any objections to having the Chief come forth and address the council? Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Lance Ketterling. I'm the Chief of Police for the Palmer Police Department. When the RFP was on the street for dispatch services and we were bidding on it as well as the borough, the last best cost we had to upgrade the CAD to next-gen standards, which was what the borough is going to be requiring and is the way forward for CAD, was, I believe, $175,000, and that was when this RFP was done, so that's dated information. So the main reason is we have a CAD that has not been upgraded since 2013, and it's several revisions old, and as a result, they're having to jump through a lot of hoops to not only replace software, but the physical components of the CAD as well. As a result, it's pretty complicated. CADs are an interesting thing. The CAD that we have now was purchased by Interact, which was formerly a different company. And this is back when CADs could cost anywhere from $376,000 brand new, which is what I believe was paid for in 2005, to well over $800,000-$900,000 for the entire system. So $175,000 to $200,000 is not an unrealistic expectation to upgrade this system. The new next-gen standard that we're talking about now is completely, well, not completely, but it's mostly web-based, and as a result, maintenance and other things are simply less expensive. The price of business in this case has happily gone down a little bit to just purchase a new one.
Okay. Oh, Councilman Fuller.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Of the two systems, so which one's more reliable?
Well, I asked the dispatchers today what the last time the CAD locked up was, and it was earlier in the day. It locks up on a regular basis. It's affected by static electricity. There are all kinds of problems with the current system that we have. The current next-gen standard, this web-based system, seems to be more reliable. It's very robust to a degree. It complies with pretty strict standards for security. Simply because it contains CJIS information, criminal justice identification information that has to be protected. So it's a pretty robust standard for reliability and not being hacked.
So then if the web goes down, let's say GCI's cable gets cut, something happens, what's the reliability then? Does it have some kind of backup or is it?
I don't know the answer. Okay. I can't answer that intelligently. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just listening to the description, I'm just kind of curious. One seems to have the server on site. That seems to be, to me, more reliable because you got something to fall back on. But the web-based being cheaper seems to be the more efficient option. I'm just curious as if everything goes to heck in a handbasket.
Well, heck in a handbasket, any dispatch center currently in the state is going to perhaps have to revert back to the dark ages, which is writing things down on dispatch cards. And we have those on file just in case we need them, so they are there. The good news is these outages aren't permanent, and I don't know that we've experienced one yet for those type of next-gen systems. I'm not saying they haven't happened, but I'm not aware of them. So as far as complete reliability, I don't know enough about it to say this one is better or this one is not. I know the trend across the board is generally moving towards next-gen cloud-based, web-based systems.
Thank you.
Thank you. So if our best-case scenario then for costs, long-term costs, is to move to the next-gen system, What would data transfer look like, and is that included in the cost estimates for this? So, like, presumably we have, pardon my ignorance on this. I don't really understand the system that we're running out of the dispatch center. But presumably we've got information on there that we would need to have on the new system if we fired it up.
Correct.
Okay, so to move from our server-based system to web system. I mean, usually there's some type of cost to transfer that data. Do we have any idea what that would be, and is that included in the cost estimate for the new system?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to it. Off the top of my head, I don't recall what that was. I know that the borough has offered assistance for certain things, like transferring GIS data from the current CAD into a new system, they've expressed a willingness to help with that. One of the things that sometimes gets forgotten is, in addition to the CAD, one of the things that's getting very dated in our center is the Stancil recorder, which records phone and voice and radio traffic. That's 9 years old, and it's starting to fail. A new one of those is about $25,000. That's included in the new CAD system that we're trying to purchase as well. There would be a cost associated with trying to maintain all the information on the old Stancil as well. So your point's well taken. I don't have an exact dollar amount for it.
Councilman Betts, Deputy Mayor Betts.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Is this the same system that Wasilla is currently utilizing, or MatCom?
No, it's not. This system is used by a few different cities around the state, Valdez, Kenai, I believe Petersburg, and maybe one or two others. It's generally very well received, and it's gotten a lot of positives for it. Wasilla, I believe they're still using a Tiburon, but they are upgrading to next gen because the borough required it in the contract. So there is a completely doable CAD-to-CAD interface. So if that was going to be a follow-up question, yes, the two CADs can be made to talk to each other, and it's not a complicated process. It's just a matter of getting both cities to agree that this is what they want to do.
And on that point about the two CAD systems talking, the borough contract stipulated that they had to make it talk. They had to provide their data to the web, to a web-based server, or be accessible through the web. So the contract they have with the borough requires them to make that accessible. So just the nuts and bolts on how that's done would be between the technicians, but there's already an agreement in place that the whatever we have can talk to whatever they have. It can't now, based on what we have.
Yeah, and that was kind of where I was leading with that question, because I know that we had an agreement in there, but if we were changing what we have, if that was going to be a problem, where then we would be creating an issue that they maybe didn't foresee, whatever issues might come up, if that was going to give them some leverage to balk at whatever new program we go into.
As a secondary, primary public safety answering point, which is where we are right now, we're the secondary PSAP for the Valley. The data that they get in through their CAD, at least the Annie Alley data, the automated number information and the automated address information, needs to be able to transfer over to our system. So in other words, the dispatchers need to be able to get that Annie Alley information, whether it's transferred via CAD or not. What the CAD does is fundamentally helps the dispatchers see if, for example, somebody in Wasilla is taking a call and typing information into the CAD, a person having difficulty breathing or a fire at the depot, for example, that information just pops up on the CAD screen, exactly what is going on, rather than just the information about where the call is at. So it's a little bit more detailed. And the fact that we would be going to a next gen, if anything, would make that process more streamlined rather than more complicated, because we would have two things which are now next gen compliant and capable rather than one which is antiquated, or you know, if we don't buy a new CAD at all. The current CAD, again, we could upgrade it to next gen, but it brings another vendor into the mix, and it's almost as expensive as what we're trying to do now. So,
Councilman Hansen.
So to make these two communicate with one another, you know, we're the secondary, or we're the backup for the dispatch center, the dispatch organization, whatever we call it. Who's going to be responsible for those costs that we bear trying to make us communicate with them? Is it the borough? Is it Wasilla? Because it sure can't be us.
Well, the 911 lines coming into our building are paid for by MatCom through the dispatch contract. We don't pay anything for that. That is part of our agreement as a secondary PSAP, that they maintain those 911 lines, which transfers that Annie Alley data that I was just talking about over to Palmer PD. So, and another part of the contract was that they made their data available via a web-based system like what we're talking about now. So there shouldn't be any cost associated with that.
There would be an initial cost for us to pull that data. But they're required to provide that data. It's a standard that they have to follow. So it's a matter of us pulling that data in. It's not them making it available. They're not there yet. They're still working through their upgrades, but their upgrade provides that connectivity to whatever, not just us, the borough is also looking to pull that information as well. So it'll be up on us to pull that information in, but it's already in their contract to make that information available. It's just that right now there's nobody to pull it. So there would be, as part of the installation, I don't know that it would be separate, because that's part of the system installation, and we can, I think, my initial sense tells me that installation is part of that package. There wasn't another cost associated with that, but we'll verify that to make sure. Because the timeline included the installation as part of that package.
Councilman Hanson.
Okay, so I have some questions. So do we have a cost on what, have we requested a figure from Wasilla on what they will do our dispatch for yet at all?
I did request from Wasilla what a cost might be. I have not heard back. I suspect that we may not hear back anytime soon because they're still in the process of upgrading their system, sorting through. They've only been doing this now for 4 months, 3 months, since June. So they're still in the throes of trying to get themselves sorted out and stable while upgrading their systems. But I don't have a number. I did request that they consider it, what it would cost. So
my concern is this, is 2015, we had a price of, last year, it was kind of assumed that, it'd be like $600,000 to run dispatch. And now we're finding out that it's really more like $1 million. Plus, basically, I think you're talking about $100,000dispatch equipment upgrade on a yearly basis that I think you need to count on it, right? I mean, you said 2008 was the last time the system was replaced. That's 9 years ago. 2013. Upgraded. But, okay, when was the last time it was replaced? This is... Since the dawn?
Since. My apologies. I seem to recall that as long as in 2007, when this CAD was initially purchased.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah, it has not been replaced. It's been refreshed occasionally. It's been upgraded, but it hasn't been replaced.
So we're talking about $75,000 to $100,000 a year for equipment for the dispatch. I mean, that's probably something we need to count on, right?
It's definitely a possibility, yes, sir.
I mean, this one's $750 and 10-year life.
Now we're talking about radios and the CAD?
Yeah,
it's hard to predict how long the feds are going to decide to change something else in terms of DOD statistics and require some other type of upgrade for radio systems. We just don't know that, and my crystal ball doesn't see that far. It's possible it could be that. It could be longer. It could be shorter.
Well, it seems to me that I've sat here and we had a radio upgrade earlier in my city council experience, that was a major shift in philosophy and ideas then, and now we're having another one. So I suspect that we probably can count on one of these every decade.
That's not my point.
My point is I think we need to count on $100,000 a year for equipment, right?
I don't think that's unreasonable at all.
Okay. So it's scary numbers for me, $1.1 million for the dispatch center. I just think we need to concretely get a figures just so that our constituents, our people know what it costs to run a dispatch for the city of Palmer, because $660,000 is a lot different. $660,000 is a lot different than $1.1 million. So I think we need a number.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think so, too. We need to know what this... I thought our figures were going to be much lower this year than what they are with the loss of the revenue and the reduction in the service. So the comments are comments.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman Farrington.
I was wondering, you mentioned the greater... Palmer Fire Area, we're not dispatching that. MATCOM is handling that. Is there any way to get a handle on what kind of percentage that is of what our dispatch is? I'm just wondering if we should consider another reduction in the dispatch staffing or whatever.
Any reductions in our dispatch center now then involve removing people and then we have a schedule that shows how we rotate folks in or out. Again, we're down to one person per shift with double coverage from noon till midnight, which is our generally peak at times. It includes the supervisor is pulling a shift. So if we go if we go any further than in reductions, and we've cut ourselves to the point where we put ourselves at risk, where there's no coverage potentially, or we have to increase our on calls. I'm not sure that's something that we want to consider much further in reductions because we can't cover it. There has been suggestion on what can dispatch do in addition to just taking calls and dispatching, and there are things that can be done. One suggestion was monitoring potential cameras throughout the city. So that's something that could be done in the dispatch center. Now that our calls have gone down because we're no longer dispatching for the entire borough, so that is something that could be done. Additional service to the city if we want to consider those type things. So it's, if we're going to have a police department, a fully functioning police department, it includes dispatch. That's the cost of doing business. There are organizations that do contract it out. Since I've been involved with the city and dispatching, the first piece I got was, okay, we're going to consolidate dispatch. I started reading articles, and at the local level, there's a big push in other states to consolidate regionally, and that seemed like a good idea, but those consolidations are now starting to break up because they get too big. They can't control the assets. They put the folks on the ground at risk because there's less dispatchers for the number of assets that are out there because they do take those steps. So if we look at our police department as a whole, it includes dispatch. Dispatch isn't a standalone system. There are organizations that contract out their police departments. So again, from the standpoint of city services provided by the city, the decision we've got to come to is that, is this a whole service we're going to provide, or are we going to contract out a portion of it? And that's a philosophical question. If we want to do that, then we need to start looking at it, but we won't be able to execute it in 12 months. It'd be a long process. I would say if we start examining it in a year or next year, we can come back with some recommendations, but where do we go? Is it MATCOM? Is it Anchorage? Is it Valdez? And there are several other dispatch centers. If you're going to contract out, it doesn't matter where it is, because they're no longer part of your community. It's no longer your dispatch center, and you want somebody from some other organization controlling your assets. That's a conversation we can have. Personally, I think having control of our own assets is the best way to do it. And then we provide fire service outside. We're contracting our firefighters outside the city, and that helps pay for our budget. But they're still our firefighters. And when they respond to incidents in the city, they're responding through our dispatch center. And respond outside the city, they're responding through a different dispatch center. So there's a difference there on how that piece is working.
Councilman Hanson, go ahead, sir.
You know, I do agree with you, and I think that's why a lot of everybody up here supported the idea that dispatch needed to be preserved and protected in the city of Palmer, because we thought number one, we couldn't trust Wasilla to provide us with a reliable service. And number two, we thought it was best for our people and our community. Having said all that, you know, it's a big price tag. And I think we owe it to everybody involved here to a minimum get a quote. You know, now that I've kind of thrown the bomb out there, to me, what's important is you guys look at this budget and figure out how to make it work. And everything's on the table. You know, and I don't think that we've really done that. You know, I think take-home cars is an issue that could be incorporated into this. It can reduce the overall cost. But we have to look at this thing, like you said, dispatch is police, police is dispatch, and throw the firefighters into this too. If that's the case, we have to look at the whole picture. That's my main reason for saying something there.
Any questions or comments from the council? Okay. I think that's it then, and that was all you had to present this evening, sir.
Unless there are further questions on the police budget, that's probably all that we'll have time for.
Okay. Is there further questions or comments or requests for any additional information to the administration?
Yes. I've got a couple of handouts we'll give and take out cars as part of it.
Certainly.
So there's a handout on takeout cars, and there's a handout on what CAD provides.
Okay. And are they available? Well,
they'll be available online tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. So, Councilwoman Combs, you can pull that up then tomorrow. I don't think we're going to, it's not going to be passed out to us at the on the table tonight. So,
thank you.
We won't be doing, we're not going to be making any decisions regarding it. So you'll have it in ample time. Okay. And further questions or comments? Okay. Are we ready to come out of a committee on the whole then? Gentlemen, ladies. Somebody needs to make a motion?
Or I'll move to leave the committee of the whole.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Councilman LaFrance and seconded by Councilman Fuller that we come out of the committee on the whole. Any questions or comments? Okay. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Pete LaFrance.
Yes.
Councilmember Brad Hansen. Councilmember David Fuller.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabrina Combs.
Yes.
Councilmember Steve Carrington.
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Richard Best.
Yes.
Mayor Edna DeVries.
Yes.
Unanimous vote.
Okay, we are now out of the committee on the whole. The next item on our agenda is record of items placed on the table. Madam Clerk.
We had two items handed out tonight. It was the 2018 General Administration Services Calculation for Enterprise Funds and the Dispatch Revenue and Expenditure Table.
Okay. Councilman comments? Councilman Fuller?
I've got nothing.
Okay. Councilman Hansen? Okay. Councilman Carrington?
No.
Councilman LaFrance? No. Councilman Deputy Mayor Best? Okay. Councilman Combs for any comments?
No, thank you.
Okay. With that, our meeting will adjourn and we will have our regular meeting at 7 o'clock.